And Gunnach Jeesh for being here with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. The Permanent Fund Corporation has had some record earnings during Angela Riddell's watch as director. She has been head of the corporation since 2015, and the value of the fund during her time grew by about $30 billion. But she is now out of the corporation. Its board of trustees removed her yesterday as CEO on a vote of 5-1. And although there had been some signs of tension recently between her and the board, her departure came as a surprise to many because of the remarkable performance of the fund. And joining me to give us some insights on this development and what might be the reasons behind this, Tim Bradner, a longtime business writer for Alaska, and he has a specialty in natural resource reporting. So I guess, Tim, maybe we should start out by talking about how Angela was regarded in the financial world. Was she considered at the top of her game?
Rhonda, Angela was very well regarded, as I understand it, certainly in the state's political community and in the Capitol building. She had been, you know, Deputy Commissioner of Revenue, was highly respected.
Well, I mean, it has been remarkable, an incredible run. The fund has grown by $30 billion. I mean, that's quite a thing. Do you think that she should get the credit for that, or is that pretty much just the circumstances of the economic climate?
Rhonda, it's a little bit of everything in that. Obviously, the fund run-up happened because the whole financial market lifted, you know, caused the fund to gain in value substantially. A lot of the credit is due, frankly, to the trustees and the asset allocation formula that they put in place. A lot of it is due to the management of Angela Riddell and her staff, and the chief investment officer and the staff that that she works with there in Juneau. So I think it's not any one person should get the credit for this, but you know, face it, she was at the helm of the ship when this happened. The fund gained substantially in value, and I think she should get some of the credit for that. That's why it seems so odd that this happened.
Well, I guess odd too, in that there's really no explanation for it, and of course, it's the usual that this is a personnel matter, so we really can't discuss it. But do you think that the public is owed some kind of an explanation from the Board of Trustees?
Rhonda, I certainly do. And I think if there is no explanation forthcoming, I think it's going to lead to some losing of some of the public trust for the Permanent Fund. So I think there's a big responsibility for the trustees to step up to the plate and explain this thing, just the way it happened and why it happened. And I think the first up on the plate should be the chairman, Craig Richards. He should be the person that goes and explains this. And I know it's a personnel matter, and I know that usually those things are confidential, but in this case, there's so much at stake that if there's no explanation coming, it's going to start to erode public trust in the fund, in my opinion. And the fund has become so important to the state, paying, you know, 75% of our state budget, that this kind of goes beyond the normal rules. It has to be explained.
I know it's hard for people to kind of grasp that our budget, so much of it now comes from the Permanent Fund. And of course, you know, there has been some, I guess, controversy earlier in the year. She wanted to give her employees a bonus because they've done a remarkable job, and the Board of Trustees was not in favor of that. And as I understand it, they told her that the optics were not good since the governor since the legislature reduced the Permanent Fund dividend. It's not a big dividend, and that they thought it just didn't look good to do that. And so it's kind of interesting because it looks like maybe the Permanent Fund is being tied to the performance of the dividend somehow, and it's not supposed to kind of stand on its own in a formula.
Well, Rhonda, a lot of people don't know a lot about what the point of disagreement was between Angela and the trustees, particularly the Commissioner of Revenue, Lucinda Mahoney. She was on point on this, as I understand. basically, as from what I understand, and you described it correctly, the fund's managers have performed very well, and they are the ones who should be given a lot of credit for the growth of the fund's value. And normally, when a person does a good job, you give them a bonus. There's nothing, there's nothing really wrong with that. It's the idea is why they accept it. But in this case, the denial of a bonus because it doesn't look right politically is really doesn't quite square with the way things are normally done in professional financial service circumstances and compensation. It just doesn't look good to have political considerations like the size of the PFD and the optics of how things look when major decisions like this are made. It does look good, make us look very good in the financial community at large, and it shouldn't make us look very good in the state. It kind of makes us look small town.
Well, especially when you consider her stature, because she has a very compelling backstory. You know, aside from her service in the Parnell administration, she's a breast cancer survivor. And she's probably someone who could have stayed in New York City and had quite a career, make millions, and came to Alaska instead, and even took a big pay cut, I understand, to be here because she wants to be here. So what does that say about her departure?
Well, it tells me that the things are not managed on a very professional basis, is what it tells me. I think I have heard people comment that the permanent fund, the structure of its governance, and the fact that the majority of the members are appointed by the governors, it gives it kind of a political flavoring to it, could be done better. I mean, if a fund of this size could be managed in a more professional manner, the way big funds are managed down south, and the fact that we kind of do it our own way up here is not so wrong, but it just doesn't make us look very professional. I use the word small town. For example, we've always had a political brouhaha over the fact that the fund office is in Juneau, and we've kind of turned down the idea that the fund could have a satellite office in Anchorage, or that some of the key fund managers could live outside of Juneau. I mean, that's just really kind of a political decision that doesn't look very professional when it comes to kind of big money financial decisions and institutions like this.
So, Tim, what is your theory? Or, I know you have lots of sources. I mean, what is it looking like? What's going on behind the scenes with this?
Well, probably the best interpretation, Rhonda, is the one that seems the most straightforward. I mean, who really knows what went on back behind the closed doors? And we hopefully we're going to find out. We should find out. Probably the most logical explanation of this is that Angela just got counter with the certain members of the trustees, perhaps Commissioner Mahoney, over the bonus issue. Maybe there were some other issues. She got counter to them, and they won and she lost. That simple. That happens.
Well, some people are wondering about the timing of this, because we are coming up on the release of the governor's budget, and wonder if there's any connection in perhaps another dip into the reserves of the fund, maybe outside of what Angela Rodell would have thought would be good to take. I don't know.
Well, I don't think there's any connection with the budget, because the permanent fund's contribution to the budget for the operating portion is pretty well set. I think the governor got such a pushback, not only from the permanent fund trustees and Angela last year, but from the legislature on his idea of a double dip on the permanent fund, which some people called a raid on the permanent fund to pay a higher dividend. So I think that's probably off the table, I would think. And I think if the governor were to propose that again, particularly in the wake of the firing of Angela Rodell, mainly by trustees that he appointed, that wouldn't make him look very good. I don't think that's likely to happen.
Well, curiously, you bring up the governor, and he was asked about that and said that he had nothing to do with this decision, that it's the trustees that make the decision, although he appoints them, but he has nothing to do with the decision. Do you think that's entirely true?
Oh, I think that's the case. I think he would be, he has to keep hands off of independent corporations like this. But still, you know, he does appoint them. Looking at the trustees, though, I think probably, you know, the only trustees that really answer to the governor closely are the commissioners that are on it. There were two other trustees that were appointed by Dunleavy. Craig Richards actually was Bill Walker's attorney general, and it was actually, it still probably still is fairly close to Bill Walker. Steve Rieger was appointed by Dunleavy, but Steve was on among the trustees before under a prior governor. So I don't see this. It kind of has bad optics, so to speak. It looks like the governor could be pulling the strings behind the scenes, but in this case, I don't think it really is. I think it's probably just a matter of a fundamental difference of opinion between Angela and some of the trustees who happen to be the governor's appointees, and just was handled very poorly.
One of the things that we've always heard about the structure of the Permanent Fund Corporation is it's sort of a state agency, but it's got its own independence in a lot of ways with its board of trustees. Does it still have as much autonomy as it needs to have?
Well, it is autonomous in much the same way that the other independent state corporations like the Alaska Railroad or ADA, for example, or Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. In this case, the governor appoints the trustees of the permanent fund. The way that ADA has handled this, which is sort of interesting, is that they have made a decision to, and I think it took some legislation to do this, to have the majority of the directors of ADA be not appointed by the governor. There are governor appointees and commissioners on the ADA board, but the majority are not appointed by any particular governor. And that might be something that's worth looking at for the permanent fund too, so that there is not a majority of the trustees that would be appointed by any one governor during his term, which is the case now.
So a few more checks and balances might be in order. Well, one of the things that Angela Rodel said after that controversy involving the bonus is she herself mentioned the possibility of some kind of restructuring in which the corporation goes under the Department of Revenue. And I'm not sure I understand what that's all about. Can you explain what that possibility might be?
Well, I really can't think of what Angela may have had in mind. I mean, normally independent corporations administratively operate under a state agency. For example, ADA operates under the Department of Commerce. And so, you know, the budget goes through that department. It's within the framework of state government, although the permanent fund might have a different kind of structure. I don't really see a lot of, you know, what the advantages or disadvantages of that might be in this case.
So I guess going forward, you know, they're going to be searching for a new manager. They have an interim manager. And again, the permanent fund dividend and the permanent fund will be sort of a focus of the next session. And obviously, because it is a big portion of our budget now, what do you see on the horizon? What stories are you going to be looking at covering?
Well, we'll see the governor's budget and, you know, we'll see the permanent fund's contribution to the budget, which is pretty well set. It'd be about $3 billion, a little over $3 billion. And I think the really good thing about having this set up that way is that the legislature knows going in exactly what, you know, what kind of money from the permanent fund they're going to be able to get, which is set by the trustees the prior year. And that's not the case with oil revenue, which is now only a minority of the amount of revenue. That depends on oil prices. And the Department of Revenue makes an estimate of what oil revenue is going to be, but you never really know until later in the year. So having this kind of bedrock funding from the permanent fund to the state budget is really important because you know exactly what it's going to be. So that, you know, those sort of things are set in stone. I don't see the dividend becoming kind of issue that blocked up the whole legislature like it did in this current year's session. It's going to be an election year. Everybody's going to be running for re-election. There's going to be a lot of talk about a higher dividend, but I don't see the administration making a huge push like they did last year for it. I could be wrong.
Well, last year was the endless session, it seemed.
Well, I think everybody was so worn out by it. For one thing, the fight over the PFD really blocks the legislature from dealing with a lot of other issues that they have to deal with. You know, we had major education bills, you know, that were stalled up that should have passed, major fisheries, natural resources legislation, really important stuff. And everything sort of froze toward the end of the session because people were fighting about the PFD and they couldn't make up their mind about it.
Well, thank you for giving us a little glimmer of hope that we won't have a marathon series of sessions like we did last year. So thank you so much, Tim Bradner. He's a natural resource writer and also does a legislative report that comes out. He's got his finger on the pulse of a lot of information. So thanks for kind of giving us your take on what happened, because it's so important to all of us. You know, we depend on the permanent fund for state funding now and also for our individual dividends, our Christmas presents, so to speak, for many people. So thanks so much, Tim.
Well, thank you, Rhonda.